Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Monica, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating with practice in the form of being a monthly donor. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So maybe tell us a little bit about that, what your experience has been. I heard rumor that it was a lit-up experience for you.
Yeah, I was excited to talk about it because the benefits were so much more than what I anticipated. Or actually, I didn't really anticipate any benefits.
That's interesting. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and some of the benefit, it's just a way that I feel just included in Sangha as a result of it in a way that I didn't really expect. It was kind of, well, first of all, I didn't have any hesitation about it. Like a lot of times when there's a request or opportunity to make donations, I have a lot of conversation about it, but it was very natural. And I think after my first retreat, I was definitely wanted to do something, make a donation. And I like doing the ongoing donation because it doesn't feel, I don't notice it as much if it's just kind of coming out of my account. And so anyway, I did it. And then, I guess there's this way that I can, and I've heard a lot of talk about in Sangha about not belonging, and it was just a way that I just automatically felt part of Sangha and felt like I could contribute something. And it wasn't in this way that, well, I have to give this to get that. It was just like, if you want to belong, then you should just participate, and then you'll belong.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, I just have this big smile on my face because it's one of those things where when you say it out loud, it seems so obvious, but we can all relate to it isn't obvious. When we're in inside our own heads and there's that story about, well, but I don't really belong, and it never occurs to us that maybe participating, you know, me stepping up is the key to belonging. And that I just love the way you describe it. That's not why you decided to be a monthly donor, but that it was a really unexpected benefit to jumping in and saying yes.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was like so often of feeling like I didn't belong, and then it was that simple. It's like, oh, I belong because I showed up for it. Like, that's who belongs. Whoever shows up belongs.
Exactly.
And it was like really an aha, like kind of, like you said, obvious but not obvious until you experience it.
Which is so incredibly practice, isn't it? That that's what we're doing is we're having the experience. And anyone's idea of it, telling us an idea, reading an idea, hearing about an idea, you know, it's great. But it's not going to make a whit of difference in our actual experience until we stand up and with our own 2 feet, with our own 2 hands, with our own $2, whatever it is, participate.
Yeah.
That's where the difference is made in our own lives.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a big big step in that. I was able to apply it in other areas. Like, oh, well, if I just do this, I'll be part of it.
Wow.
Like participating kind of in a wholehearted way, you know, not participating and then saying, well, maybe I really shouldn't have come, or, you know, just going, yeah, I belong here and I have something to contribute, and because I'm a human being, not because I'm Monica, you know.
Right, exactly. Because I'm a human being, because I'm here, because this is something I enjoy doing, because I want it to still be here, you know, I'm a part of it. So, you know, the things that I'm a part of, I participate in. I'm a piece making it happen.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like getting the recordings of the Sunday group, which I would love to be there in person every week, but since I often can't, it's really like on Sundays I tend to do my sitting, you know, pretty first thing in the morning, and on Sundays there's just like this whole period of time where I do my meditation at 10 o'clock at the same time as it happens on Sunday at the monastery, and I wake up and I have my coffee and, you know, just kind of have a privileged environment a couple hours, and it's just a really nice way to, I look forward to that, and then to be able to hear the recording of the, well, firstly, I use the recording every day in my sitting to do the daily recollection so that I'm saying it with Sangha.
Oh, nice.
And I really enjoy hearing that and saying it, and just it really enhances my sitting practice. And then on Sunday, it enhances it even more because then I listen to the group discussion, and it's just always so helpful and so another way to feel part of, because you kind of just learn things and hear things, and I don't know, it's just pretty wonderful.
I love that. I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone talk about it. I suppose maybe other people do use it in that way, but I've never heard that. That, so first of all, using the recording of the meditation. So the Sunday morning groups at the monastery begin with a 30-minute meditation period and then followed by an hour-long group discussion. And then those are made available through links on the website to monthly donors. So in other words, you're using that meditation period, so where we say the recitations and then there's the silence for the 30 minutes in your morning meditations. And then on Sunday, you're using, I guess, the weeks before, whatever's the most recently posted one, to basically have your own Sunday group.
Exactly. And it's kind of like the meditation's kind of like my own virtual meditation whenever I feel like it. So I don't have to, you know, coordinate it. I can just turn it on whenever. And the bells are so helpful. And, like, just really great to have the timer. I don't have to think about, I don't have to look at the clock. I don't have to set a timer. I just, I'm just there.
Yeah, that's fun. And I know, you know, I have the privilege of being at those groups most Sundays. And it's nice for us, too, on that end to know, we're sitting here in this room and we're however many people we are in that given day, but to know that there are hundreds more people who are going to get to participate in this. It's really a heart-opening experience.
Yeah, and it's just listening. Like, it took me a while, I think, to get on board with, like, really listening to the radio show regularly and listening to the monthly donor group discussion, really, like, looking forward to and really feeling the benefit of that and just feeling that connection to Sangha in that way. And it took me a while for it to really feel helpful, but now that it does feel helpful, it really feels helpful to...
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because I think often what happens, I know this is true for me, and I hear other folks talk about it, that, you know, we hear about something in practice or anywhere in our life, you know, here would be a helpful thing to do. Here, you know, exercise, eating well, meditating, whatever it is. And we set out to do it, and if in the first 5 or 6 minutes we don't feel better or feel any benefits, right, we tend to start to get talked out of it. But I love what you're saying, that to even with something like that, where you're listening to the radio show or you're listening to groups, to give yourself time to really stay committed to it, and that over time the benefits really get deeper and deeper.
Yeah, and the more I practiced and the more I came up against, you know, conditioning or the more I understood, I guess, the more helpful it was. So it just kind of was a symbiotic in that way. Like, the more I practiced, the more it benefited me, and the more I listened and benefited, the more I wanted to practice.
Yep. And I can just feel how you're saying that, and all the folks who come to the Sunday morning groups at the monastery are hearing that. And so I project it's such a benefit to everyone's practice to be reminded of that, because then there's just that much more motivation to put one's hands up in the Sunday morning group to talk about what's going on with us, or to call into the radio show, because we hear how helpful it is when people, you know, it just, participation leads to participation, leads to participation, leads to... Which is exactly what being a monthly donor is, too. It's the same process, isn't it? It's just all of us offering practice together.
And I also kind of heard this, but hadn't. Like, it really is a unique and small sample of people that are practicing, even though Sangha is large and there's lots of people, but relative to the population and relative to what I encounter in my day, I don't know, there's just something so beautiful, the people that are just dedicated to practice and hearing their process around it and just how excited they can get about it. And, you know, it really is touching and heartwarming and just really useful to me.
And then, you know, to kind of bring it full circle, how neat that then, you know, as that amount comes out of your checking account each month, you know that you're very, very tangibly in that way, and also calling into the radio show, coming to participate at the monastery, that what each of us does is so important and is the thing that keeps practice available to everyone.
And then just really, you know, underlining the support that it's just really important to have that support in whatever way. And there's something about being that participating in the monthly donor and then hearing the group and being part of that, that just, like you just said, but it really feels like a support to the human. It feels really kind, and it feels, I think sometimes I cannot recognize supportive things, and it just really feels supportive of the whole process.
Another one of those big win-wins, as we say. Well, speaking of participation, thank you for participating, Monica. Thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Monica. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing? Good.
I'm good.
I'm good. Did you love that?
I love that. Yes, I did.
You know what I love best? Best about it. I love it when somebody says something about practice that I have never heard and never thought of. And it is so brilliant that it just kind of leaves you gobsmacked, as they say.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing was so, oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, people can go to group. They can wherever you are in the world, you can sit with Sangha, go to group with Sangha. I just love it. The whole daily recollection, the bells, the short recitation, and then being, I mean, that is incredible. I just love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. And, I mean, as I think Jen and Monica indicated, maybe somebody else has thought of this, but they sure as heck have never mentioned it. And it's just so beautiful. There is no reason not to have a real sense of being a part of Sangha when you're just, you might be sitting in your own living room, but you're right there. Right there with everybody. It's great. I just love it.
Yes, I do too. And I've said this before, but I don't think I can say it too many times, and that is that the teachings that you offer, and then you multiply it with the willingness to use every new technology that comes out to make it available, and it has a real multiplier effect. I know for me, it's tremendously supportive all the time. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And this is how it happens, right? Somebody says, "Well, da 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 da," and we go, "Oh yes." That is a brilliant idea. We want to do that. We want to, now we can tell people, right? Because what percentage of even the regular Sangha who regularly sits, what percentage listen to this particular good news update, right? But now we can talk about it and let people, just give people that idea that that's a possible way to really feel connected. And, for people who can't get to the monastery, well, there you are. You're at the monastery. It's like when I always think it's so much fun. I run into people regularly who I don't know, but they know all of us. They've been listening to Open Air for years, right? They'll say, "Now, whatever happened to, they name this person because they followed their whole, this whole processing thing that they were doing on Open Air."
Yeah.
And and it's a great way to get to know Sangha and feel like, yeah, this is my tribe because I know these people. And, of course, the point that was made of, be one of those people who calls in or be one of those people who puts your hands up to say what's going on with you, because that's such an important way to to give to all of those people who are listening in, there you are doing what Monica laid out, and you're at the monastery, right?
Yes.
You could close your eyes, and you'd be right there. You don't, if you've never been there, you don't know how to get into the meditation hall and how to sit down. But we tell you that, right? But you would know everything else about how it works.
Right? Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
Yeah, it's really good, really fun.
No excuse not to wake up, is there?
No, there really isn't. And we have to work very hard to avoid it.
Lovely. Right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Monica. Yes. Thanks to Jen for always showing up and being the voice there and asking those good questions and reflecting so beautifully.
Yeah.
But it was so wonderful because now people, the call had already started when I got on, although I thought I was right exactly on time. And I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyway in case nobody else did. But Monica actually volunteered to say that. People would think, well, we just got this nice gal to, and we hoodwinked her into saying, why don't you become a monthly donor? But we didn't. She wanted to talk about it and to make that perspective available to Sangha, which is such an incredible act of generosity.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, because it's scary. Right, so many people are just terrified even to call in to the show, right? Mm-hmm. And so to say, this has been really transformative for me, and maybe it would be helpful to somebody else, so I would like to talk with Sangha about this. That is huge.
It is huge. Yeah. And I loved what she said about belonging, that
Yes.
up as a monthly donor, and then instantly she belonged. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've said this before, and probably to you, but somebody asked me, and it's not just once, there must be an inner circle, right? People always assume that there's some kind of an inner circle. So how do you get into the inner circle? And my response is always show up. That's when you look around, and you see these people and you think, oh, they must be a part of the inner circle. Well, what they have in common is every time you're there, so are they, right? If they were looking at it from that perspective, they would think you were in the inner circle, right? Because every time I'm there, he's there. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what makes us the inner circle. Is there another one? No. No? That's
one circle.
You know,
it's
just one circle. If people participate for a while and then they contact us and say, I'd love to help out with something. Is there anything I can do? We're pretty good about finding them something to do as a way to volunteer, right? Because, you know, it takes a huge number of people to make this practice happen. And people will notice that we don't often ask for money. Now, there's programs and things that people pay to participate in, but we don't ask for donation, you know, send out letters to people and that sort of thing. So when people give to us, they give to us simply because in the way that Monica laid out, you know, do a retreat and then your heart is open and you want to contribute and what you want to, you know, that sort of thing. And often sometimes we remember to do a little talk about, you know, what Jen said, if you want this practice to continue to be here for the next group of folks, then, you know, it's important that we pay for it financially, too. You know, that you know, there's car insurance and all that sort of thing. But, yeah, I don't know how I started that sentence, to tell you the truth, Michael. But anyway, it's just also very good. It really lights me up, makes me very happy, which was funny, too. Monica talking about how excited we get, and we do. We are an excitable group. We love our practice, and these kinds of things just light us up.
Yeah. Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
And here are the announcements.
All right.
The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, October 1st through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, offers an opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And join Sangha in the Empty Teacup Challenge and get support for Catching Conditioning's Bamboozles. The challenge is running now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 15th. The goal is 15,000 thwarted bamboozles. So start spotting those con jobs now and record them on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit the website livingcompassion.org.
So,
and
Michael.
A reminder that we, yes.
Yeah, before we go on, I just got a text from Ashwini telling me what I was talking about. And that was, just to close that loop and finish that thought, how many people it takes to offer this practice, because we don't have a huge paid staff, right? Just about everybody who makes this happen makes it happen because they love practice and they want to offer it. So there's that, and then part of that too would easily translate into a. Or transition into a thank you, a deep bow of appreciation to all of those people who do that, all those participants, all those folks in the inner circle who show up and make practice available for all of us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. And I have to say, as one of those people, I feel like I receive far more than I give. So it's a big blessing in that way.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. In exactly the way Monica was talking about, right? Because that's what keeps us connected. And the more we practice, the more we want to be connected. The more connected we are, the more we want to practice. And our lives are changing. We're transforming.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. Beautiful. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 7, the conditional, and the assignment for week 1.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes in length is really good.
All right. We'll try to get me limited to 5 minutes. Ah, good luck with that. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. This is Ann calling from the Bay Area.
Well, hello, Ann. How are you doing?
I am doing great, and I have just loved the whole radio show so far, and I listen to it every week, and I adopted somebody's practice from a couple of weeks ago to just press *6 when you're in listening to the radio show, so you feel like you're participating at a new level, and I think it's great, and I love it, and believe it or not, I want to talk about the bamboozle for this week.
Oh, very good, very good, because it's a good one, isn't it?
Well, actually, I want to talk about I cannot believe how many practice opportunities we have, which, number one, which is just an incredible gift, and number two, how does this happen? They all support each other, and it's like it was planned. the whole theme of the radio show, the caller with Jen and then what you guys were talking about, I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. I don't know. It's just wonderful. Just wonderful. So
it is.
Here's what I'm seeing.
It is mystical, magical.
Exactly, exactly. So I was on talking about practice support. I was on a reflective listening buddy call last week, and I saw yet again the same karma that I'm working on. And what was so amazing about it was I did not have the karmic response to seeing the same karma, which is by that
Ooh.
I mean I didn't think, oh, there's something wrong with me, or why haven't I seen through this, or why is it still here? It was just, wow, this is big, and I need to gather all the support I can get to work with this.
And so I just want to underline what you just said, because that is such a giant step toward being free of the karma. When there's no longer a karmic reaction to realizing the karma is playing out.
Yes, and it felt so new and so freeing and so, well, let's go with the theme, participatory. Because it's like,
mm-hmm.
wow, we're all in this together. I can't do this by myself. I want support, and this is, this is my responsibility, my opportunity to work with this. It doesn't mean anything about me.
That's exactly right. That's the next giant step, isn't it? Or maybe it's the step before the not having the karmic reaction, right? To realize, whoa, wait a minute, there is a whole universe of difference between an authentic human incarnation and the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that has attached itself to that human being.
Yes, and to tie it in with the bamboozle for this week, or I don't know, maybe it's the bamboozle for this chapter, I love that quote from Bhagwan Sri Ranish talking about how it's the tension between who we are and who we want to become, where ego lives. And if there's no tension there, I can be where I am, and I can want to be someplace else, but if I don't have a problem with where I am, there goes the tension.
That's right. Anne, the most...
Sherry, the carpet's beige! The carpet's beige!
Well, the wonderful part about that is that when we get to that place that you're describing, so there's how I am, and there's how I want to be. And the tension between that is where those two places is where ego lives. So when I get to that place of, no, I'm going to stop having a problem with how I am. I'm just going to accept how I am. The door that opens is the one that leads us to finding out how I am. Because the how I am that ego says is how I am is not at all how I authentically am.
So let me reflect that back. The acceptance of how I am opens the door to actually discovering how I am, because how I think I am is really ego's definition of how I am.
That's right.
Wow. And then to tie it in, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm excited.
Practice is exciting. What can we do?
To tie it in with the, then talking about all the practice supports, so then I have to tie it in. I get to tie it in with the practice intensive, which today's theme was grace, and I just feel like it's total grace and a whole lot of practicing, right? It's a total grace that I was able to be in this place of seeing this.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And if we take that just one little tiny step further, so there's seeing that karma, there's realizing there's no karmic reaction to seeing that, get a little glimpse of, well, what authenticity is the awareness that sees. It's not what is seen.
Well, and you know what I just saw is that if there's no karma in seeing the karma, then I'm open to guidance and I'm open to support in a way that I don't hear it as there's something wrong with you.
That's exactly right. Yep. In fact, that's the whole around there's nothing wrong. Until we get to that, until we're open to accepting that, we are just flailing around in ego land, trying to get ego to do what ego is never going to do in order for us to be all right. But when we get it that no, there's nothing wrong. There's not even anything wrong with ego. There's nothing wrong with karma. There's nothing wrong. Then we can start seeing how things actually are. Because we can never see how things are looking through a lens of there's something wrong. Because, in fact, there isn't anything wrong.
Wow. You know, I feel like I'm in that place where I've been before, but it feels new every time I'm there of, wow, I get to start practicing now.
Yes. Yes. And it's true, isn't it? It feels that way because it's true. Because every time I have one of those, whoosh, the rug is pulled out from under and I'm in free fall through the moment, okay, I'm in a completely new reality here. And yes, I get to start practicing from this perspective, which is a completely new perspective.
Yeah.
It is exciting.
Well, and I see how it's only possible because there's so many practice opportunities that are available. And I can so clearly see that I didn't do it at all. Practice did it.
Well, it's even better than that, Anne. You did it. I didn't do it. Right? The ego didn't do it. Authenticity did it. Because, you know, practice can be everywhere all the time. But if that authentic human being, that practitioner, as we like to call her or him, if that impulse to wake up in suffering is stopped from participating, it's never going to happen.
It's not
right?
What?
So, yes, it's never going to happen. So yes, we offer a lot of stuff, but let's make a deep gusho and offer a heartfelt thank you to that authenticity that guides you to saying yes to those opportunities.
Yeah. Yes, and to the jewel of Sangha that supports that and reflects that.
Yes.
You know, I just am so moved that, you know, every week I call into the radio show to listen. So that's my participation. But every week you and Michael show up. Every week all other Sangha members have the courage to call in and be vulnerable. You know, every week I talk to a reflective listening buddy partner who's available. Every week, I mean, there's just so many practice opportunities all the time, and it's just astounding to me. And, you know, to me it's like a beacon of sanity in the world, in a very insane world. So, as a first call, to bring it back to the first caller, it just feels so wonderful to participate.
Yes, yes. And what you just brought in there at the end, and is so important, because perhaps more now than, I mean, it's often the case, but it's a particularly difficult, turbulent time in our world right now. And if we get pulled into that, if we take our eyes off that beacon of sanity that practice is, we can go to a place of hopelessness and despair. But if we realize, as I'm fond of quoting the Buddha saying, society is insane. If we just stay with that, yes, there is insanity. We don't have to choose that. We can choose the alternative. We can choose presence, consciousness, and compassion, and bring that to the world. To ourselves, first of all, and then to the world.
Yes, and I am so grateful for monastic practice specifically, I mean, so many ways, but just specifically with the insanity of the world and feeling I don't have an obligation to listen to any of that, you know? And I don't, because why would I want to do that to myself, you know?
That's
so,
right.
And
that's
I
right.
choose all these practice opportunities instead.
Yes, and choose kindness and compassion and bring that energy to the world when it seems like it's very much what the world needs.
Yes. So deep, I know I'm well past my 5 minutes, but just deep gut show to everybody who makes this practice possible. And I know, like you said, there's so many people who work to make it possible, and it's just a gift that keeps on giving. So I'm just very grateful.
Thank you, Anne. Thanks for being one of those people.
Okay. Bye,
Take care.
Bye, Carrie. Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. That was a very lit up conversation, Sherry. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Lit up, beacon. Those go together, don't they? Lit up and beacon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program now, and then we'll be back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen awareness coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have many more callers here, Sherry.
Good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Stephanie P.
Hi.
Well, hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
What's going on?
To hit the old button and get in the queue and get my heart rate thing and
feeling really alive.
Well, I was inspired to say something tonight after I heard the conversation going to the belonging and, you know, is there a special circle of people and who belongs and who doesn't and the huge conversation around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it might have been 6 months ago hearing somebody in Sangha really still struggling with the I don't belong. And I just thought, really? It's so odd because I would have never thought that of that person. And as I started to look around, I mean, well, of course everyone else belongs but me, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And again, it came down to there's just that deep belief, and it's not even saying I don't belong, but it's just saying somewhere that I am separate. Somehow, you know, I'm not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it really interesting to see that, and I'm not believing it anymore. I mean,
right. Well, I would guess, so apparently the most universal issue, as far as I can tell from working with people over the years, the most universal issue that people have is procrastination. Right? And the most consistent belief is, I don't belong. And when we break that down, it's not surprising, right? Because ego is the illusion of being separate.
Mm-hmm.
So for ego to maintain itself, it's really important that people don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you belong, that's really hard on ego. Because keeping a person different, unique, special, of course, those are the upsides of it, and then different, weird, unacceptable, you know, the downside of it. But the whole bottom line is what that does to a person is make their only life companion ego.
Mm.
Right? Because when we're alone, right, when we're separated and isolated from other people, again, it would be great if we could be alone, but people are never alone, right, because they're there with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, that voice in the head. So, yeah, it's working really hard to convince people that they don't belong.
Really, really hard. Against all evidence.
Yes. Yes, precisely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ego doesn't have a problem with evidence. So our expression that people choose their beliefs over their experience, that's a perfect example of it. Right? So the person is just welcomed. You know, they're greeted. They're acknowledged, they're treated kindly, nicely, there's compassion, there's understanding, and yet the belief will continue. That I don't fit in, I don't belong, I'm not like them, I'm different from them. They're all alike, but So choosing our beliefs over our experience is very popular with ego.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it's like the conversation has been going. It's just about participating and showing up. And showing up is belonging, despite what ego is saying.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And another element of that to me that is part of this conversation we're having tonight is that we're not just showing up for us, we're showing up for others, right? And that takes us, that immediately takes us out of ego's grip, if only for a moment. Because the whole thing with ego, of course, is me. This is all about me. And so if I am showing up as an offering, as a, you know, my way of being of assistance to others, then that's again, that's a hardship for ego.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and it's also a very grown up place. You know, my teacher would say we grow up spiritually when we stop focusing on what we can get and start focusing on what we can give. What can I do? What can I offer? How can I be of assistance rather than what's mm-hmm. in this for me? So that whole process of growing up spiritually, of course, is moving away from ego and its self-centered concerns and having that larger we'll do for the love of others what we wouldn't be willing to do for ourselves perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I am feeling that karmic wheel turning, and it's a wonderful freeing feeling.
Uh-huh. When it's turning away from ego, away from karma, and turning toward mm-hmm. freedom and joy, it's a glorious thing, isn't it?
It is a glorious thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just wanted to share, thank you so much for being there.
Well,
always.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank sure. you for contributing, for participating, right? For that, what is 20 seconds of insane courage? Is that the expression that goes star six? And then the voices
yeah,
start
right.
saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, God, what have you done? Hang up. But
yeah.
you didn't.
Saw the whole thing, laughed it off, and just stayed with it, and here we are. I didn't die.
Here we are. Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie.
Right. Thank you. And thanks, Michael.
You're
Good
welcome.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Stephanie. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jessica from Oregon.
Oh, hello, Jessica. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fabulous, as you perhaps noticed.
Yeah.
We are
a lit up little
group tonight.
Yeah, wow, I'm so excited, too, to be on here. It's the first time I've called in, so I had that urge you
All
guys
right.
were just talking about to hang up.
The voices are screaming in your ears.
Yes. So
heart,
I'm on the walk.
The heart rate is up.
Yeah, the heart rate's up. I'm walking it out, like, as I talk. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right,
but,
well, what's going on, Jessica?
Well, so what inspired me to call in is I just wanted to share. I went on my first retreat with you guys at the beginning of June, the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And yeah, that was an amazing experience. And yesterday, it was this weekend, I pulled out my recorder, and I hadn't listened yet to the recording that we had made when it was my turn, you know, to go through the process.
Let's not give away too much, Jessica.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
So you had a recording from the retreat.
Yeah, I had a recording that I was like not really wanting to listen to, you know, and I was kind of like, you know, no big deal. But I decided to pull it out and listen to it, it was so amazing
mm-hmm.
to hear what was on there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just...
You could really see why the voices didn't want you to listen to it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's just like I had this overwhelming feeling of like, I mean, it just struck me like this is it. Like everything is on this recording. Like if this recording mm-hmm. is all I had, like yep. the whole process is here.
You could find freedom. You yeah. could find freedom just with that. Yep.
Exactly.
So Jessica, not to lead you into a commercial, but when we say that retreat is perhaps the most life-changing thing anybody would ever do, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and taking it home and you know, and doing it and practicing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's amazing. And I'm so, I mean, just to continue along the theme of being lit up and grateful, I'm so grateful for that, you know, and it's like, it's just right there for me to access and work with. And
yes.
I just,
and
wow.
so are we. We're right here for you to yes. access and work with.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a whole support team and a team that you get to help support.
Yeah.
Because we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, that was kind of part of what kept me on the call, too. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm giving, too, by calling, because I want to be a part of that yeah. amazing experience, and yeah. I want to give back and stuff, too, you know, so it's like, yeah, yeah. I can give by staying on the line and calling it.
Yeah, yeah, by showing up, right,
yeah.
by showing up. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
mm-hmm.
So, I just wanted to share that and how grateful I am.
Well, I am so glad. And thank you for finding the courage and saying yes to calling in, because we love to hear, you know, we love it when people call in for the first time, but then that just opens it up for you to call in for the second, third, fourth, fifth, 100th time
mm-hmm.
or however it all works out.
The ice has kind of been broken, so.
Exactly. Now you know how
yeah.
to do it. You know nobody ever died of an elevated heart rate, or at least not on open air. And,
right.
So you're welcome to join us anytime. And truly do, Jessica, because as you know, those voices are really devoted to isolating you and keeping you from turning on those recordings and doing the work and that sort of thing. And knowing how lit up you can be, it's just, you know, there's just no sense in going back and living in any other state but lit up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
that's, you know, that's the wonderful thing is, like, once you know, it's
yes.
like, why would I ever want to? You know what I mean? That resistance
right.
might come up and stuff, but it's like, I would never want to go back there, so
that's
I'm going to keep moving forward, you know. Or
that's right.
Or
that's right, because you know that level of freedom is possible for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're choosing, right?
Yeah, and
yeah.
that's what really struck me, too, at the end of the retreat. I remember we were all sitting there, you know, and just what came into my mind was like, gosh, now I know what's possible.
Uh-huh.
And I can't.
Yes.
Like, I'm never going to forget that this is possible. So, you know, having anything less than this is not, it's not really going to be acceptable anymore, you know, now
That's
that
right.
I know that I can be free.
That's, yes. Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, you make me happy, Jessica.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You make me so
I love
happy,
it.
Too. All of you. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take good care of yourself. Be in touch.
I will. Okay,
all
thank
right.
you so much.
Okay. You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. And that was a lit up conversation too, Sharon.
I think we filed these under practice works, right?
Yes.
And Jessica's point, that point that we were talking about at the end, that's the whole thing. You know, we experience something, we feel something, And whether it's the level of freedom that Jessica is talking about, or just something kind of moves in our hearts and we think, oh, there's more possible for me than I've had so far, or whatever it is that happens to us, and we're different, and we're on a path. And then the importance of staying connected so that those voices don't talk us out of what we know to be true from our own experience, what we know to be true.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's great. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello. My name is Helga. I'm from Charleston. And
well, hello, Helga.
Hello. I actually asked you a question 2 years ago when I was very, very sick. And I just also finished the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat in North Carolina.
Did you have a good time?
It was incredibly eye-opening. And, you know, first of all, I really also, I mean, I just want to tell you that this was the most incredible, really life-changing retreat I've ever been on. And, you know, I'm turning 60, and I've done a lot of things in my life. And I'm not as cheery as everybody else. I feel like, you know, when they were talking in the retreat about that self-hate, egocentric karmic conditioning, I got this image of Lord Voldemort, you know, who attaches himself to people. And sucks the life out of them. And I feel like I've lived with Lord Voldemort for a very, very long time and, you know, have been very confused as to who's who. And so I have a, you know, I have a hard time distinguishing what is what and who is who. So it's, you know, it's been...
Yes.
It's I find it incredibly challenging. I mean, I know this is the right path, and I'm willing to do whatever because I'm so sick and tired of suffering. I've had a really rough 2 years, and but my question was, you know, in the daily recollections, one of the things, I don't have my glasses on, but it says something, you know, in the list of things. Of grave
prohibited precepts.
Those things, yeah. There's the one not to be angry. And so, you know, that caught my attention because my self-hate, when it comes out, is incredibly angry, hateful, spiteful, and has given me and other people a lot of grief in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm working with a family. They have two little children, and the father has a lot of repressed anger. And so I see the children, you know, reacting with anger to, you know, certain kind of abuses. And so my one question was, is there anything like, you know, when an abused child is angry, is there anything like righteous anger in your view? And second, I see these children struggle. I mean, you know, it's not like they don't get, you know, he has spanked them and he gets angry when they don't obey. He's also German, just like me, so we have, like, a very severe conditioning in that regard. And I just really would love to help these children somehow. They struggle, you know, they're not allowed to show any anger. That is absolute taboo. They are just like when I grew up, you know, it's like the only person in my family that was allowed to show anger was my father. If we were angry, we were beaten. And so these children, you know, have, you know, they develop other ways of you know, it comes out in, like, passive-aggressive behavior and things like that. So I'm just, you know, and because I can relate to that so much, I would just really like to hear, you know, what is there anything that you can would say to that, anything that I can do to help with that, because I see these kids struggle, you know, and they're a very wonderful family. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're much more wonderful than my family. But there is that, you know, that repressed anger, and the father carries that energy, and these children trying to cope with that, and because they love their father, and he's a wonderful father. So anyway, so is there anything that you would
share? A couple of things about that. One, little course correction, when you say my self-hate, that we never want to say that because, of course, it's not yours. It's
right.
Lord Hootie Wooby. It's
Lord
attached
Voldemort,
itself
Harry
to
Potter.
You. Yeah. I know. So, not a fan. So I wasn't sure how to pronounce his name. At any rate, it's really super important that we not take ownership of that because it is something that has attached. And it's true that these children, you know, are going to have their conditioning just like everybody, just like you did, just like I did. And everybody got it, right? It's the one thing we have in common. And so probably the very best thing that you can do, let me ask you this, what do you do? So you were raised under similar circumstances. What do you do with the anger so that it's not repressed and doesn't eat up your insides?
Well, it pretty much has eaten up my insides. When I called you the last time, I had gastritis. So I'm, you know, I'm struggling with that. I mean, and what I have done is, you know, it's like every so often I let off steam and, you know, just lost my wonderful, beloved boyfriend because of that, because he couldn't handle it anymore.
Okay, so let's do a little anger stuff, okay? And I will tell you, I'm also German. And Huber, you could have guessed that.
No, I know that, but you could be second, third, fourth generation.
Yeah, no, not when you're German. Not when you're German, you're not. There's no end to the generations as far as I can tell. And rage was my deal. Grew up in an extremely volatile, violent family. I would talk about, you know, my image of it is, go into rages and want to destroy buildings with a baseball bat, that sort of thing. I'll just quickly tell you the story of this. So I had a little dog whom I adored, cutest little dog in the world, and very little dog. And one day I was in one of my take the house apart with a baseball bat modes, and I looked over, and there she was in the corner. And she was trying to push her little self through the baseboard to get away from me. And she was looking at me with these huge eyes like I was the scariest thing she'd ever seen in her life, which I'm sure I was. And I just made up my mind in that moment that, no, that's enough. I'm not indulging that any longer. We're not doing that anymore. And it wasn't, and of course it was very tied into depression and all of the other things that go with that kind of personality. That was the moment of deciding to turn it around. And, of course, it didn't end there just because I decided. But what I knew that I did not want to do is repress it because I, even though, you know, it wasn't as, all of this stuff was not terribly known when I was going through this process. And yet I knew that trying to hold it in was not going to be the secret to my success. It just didn't work. I would do that for a while. And then, as you say, I would explode and take it out on people and that sort of thing. So a couple of things that I've learned, one, never involve anybody else. People don't like it. There's always karma with it. So what my emotions are my emotions, and perpetuating a belief that it has anything to do with anyone or anything else is just nonsense. It doesn't. Whatever happened in my life is not the cause of what I'm doing now. I'm the cause of what I'm doing now, and my decisions are the cause of what I'm doing now. And I have absolute choice over how I want to be. Okay, so blaming other people in the past or now is just nonsense. It's indulgent nonsense as far as I'm concerned. Mm. So then what do you do with all of that energy? Because that's all it is. It's just a whole lot of energy that gets directed in particular directions. And it gets indulged by ego. Okay? And so that's when I was just talking about this recently, I think on open air, but I'm not certain. You know, I went to batting cages. That's when I took up running. I boxed. I did all kinds of, I would dig holes in the yard. I lived in the country. I would chop firewood, okay? I would do anything that I could think of to try to use that energy in something remotely constructive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And as I did that, what I realized, of course, is that the energy was mine. And if I didn't turn it over to stories, to conversations in my head about what was wrong and what they did and how it shouldn't be that way and that was wrong and all of it, if I didn't give energy to that, if I gave that energy to me to use in a dance, you know, stand, jump rope, stand in the middle of the room and jump up and down, whatever it is that kept it for me as something that I could use. And then eventually, of course, turning it into creative kinds of things. And then eventually what it turns into is compassion and joy. Because it's all, it's simply a matter of taking that energy from something that is feeding hatefulness and negativity, bringing it back to the human being, and letting it transform into loving kindness and compassion and joy. So at this point in practice, as I talk about it, of course, it's getting out of the conversation. Because without that conversation and conditioned mind, rage is not possible. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. How old are these children?
They're 9 and 6.
9 and 6. So
yeah.
I would, and I don't know how much latitude you have, and to make sure that they don't give you away. But I would have a tendency to say things to them, kind of on the quiet, like, you know, being a grown up can be really stressful. And sometimes when we're stressful, we say things we don't really mean. So, you know, it's really important not to take personally what other people, you know, it's not about you. You don't have, it's not about you. And the other thing that I have doped out about children, which I think is helpful, I don't know, is that when we talk to them, we talk about our process. And so if I were talking with them, I would say things like, you know, it would be easy for me to get upset when somebody yelled at me. But I don't want to do that because I know that they're just upset with themselves. And they may be yelling at me, but I know they're upset with them. And so what I do when that happens is, and I would say what I did. You know, when that happens, I would just remind myself that I'm a good person and I'm doing the best I can And they're good people, and they're doing the best that they can. You know, just whatever your process is, to say it out loud to them, not to tell them how they should be, but to tell them how you are.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Thank you. Thanks.
You are so welcome.
Yeah. I had been thinking of...
You have a feeling? What are you going to take up? Dancing, maybe? Are you
I do stuff. I mean, I do a lot of stuff, you know, but I guess it's not enough. You know, I've started doing dynamic meditation again. You know, I used to be with Osho for a long time, so I have all the meditations here. I started doing all that. But I had thought of maybe taking up boxing.
Yeah. Oh, it's very therapeutic. But the main thing to do, the main thing to do is get out of that conversation in the head. No replays, no old stories about what happened to me, no how they done me wrong, no this is because, none of that. Just say just say no to that and get into the present and enjoy your body, enjoy being physical, have that energy for you to enjoy.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. I mean, now that you're talking, you know, I think that in the past, you know, it's almost, I felt like when I have done stuff to dissipate that energy, it felt more like I wanted to get rid of it, you know, because it's so painful. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
it's painful when it's associated with a painful story.
Yeah.
But when it's just energy... For instance, you know, you turn on your favorite music and you dance until you can't stand up anymore, and it's all the same energy, but it's been used for your enjoyment and pleasure,
right?
So there's nothing painful about the energy. The pain is in the story.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it. I made it on the show.
Me too. Stay in touch, huh? Every 2 years, you know, we can have a better relationship than that.
I definitely, you know, I started doing the meditations every morning. I mean, it's like this is a real lifeline for me, and I know that. So I'm very committed. You might just see me out there in California one day.
Excellent. We'd love it.
Yeah.
Us Germans got to stick together, you know. Thank you, Helga.
Thanks. Thanks. Good night.
Take care. Good night.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. And we've come to the end of another inspired show, Sherry.
Wow. Time flies, as they say.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, for steering the ship, as always.
Oh, my pleasure and my privilege, and I'm grateful for your participation.
And I'm grateful for yours. It's a very good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing we've got going. Let's continue it.
All righty, next week then.
All right. Just take care.
Thank you, sir.
Good night. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.